Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. Today we have such an extraordinary show for you. When we talk about what it means to live an unlimited life, how do you go through all those boundaries, those borders, those walls, those hurdles, and get to the other side, and what is it like to live that kind of life of freedom, of success, of making your dreams come true? And it was our goal when we created this show to really bring you the very best tools and techniques and keys and the very best of the professionals, the very best, the pinnacle people on the planet making a difference that really know how to live an unlimited life. And I can't think of a better way to live an unlimited life and to teach you about really having a black belt in success than today's guest, which is Matthew Ziff. Matthew's amazing. He was born and he was raised on the East Coast, just like myself, and he began modeling with the Wilhelmina Modeling Agency in New York at the age of 2 months. Imagine being 2 months old and already being a hit and a success. By the age of 10, due to his talent as well as his professionalism, not only was he considered a top child model, and he was called upon constantly for magazines, for clothes, for toy boxes, for commercials. He had already even appeared on comedy skits on both the David Letterman and the Conan O'Brien shows. It's just amazing. Imagine being a little boy and already being out there in so many different realms and advertising so many different types of products that you're able to help people and share with people a lifestyle and a way of life. And then during his high school years, he kept active with his acting classes and he was performing in stage productions. But not only was he an actor, but he actually crossed the line and he became a director as well. And then once in college, he went to the University of Miami and he signed at that point with an elite talent agency where he started filming multiple commercials, and then he embarked on his film career, which is where we know him from today. Matthew has worked on various genres of films, and it's great because when I was looking at the list of his films, they're films that are fun to say, and they're films that have an energy and an impact, and there's something just when you look at what he's worked on, and the incredible, it's like a kaleidoscope, the incredible matrix and realm and versatility in which he has performed. He worked on films such as Mansion of Blood with Robert Picardo, with Hard Flip with John Schneider and Rosanna, a friend of mine, Among Friends with Danielle Harris and Jennifer Blanc, Six Gun Savior with Martin Cove and Eric Roberts, and Treachery, I just love saying it. And in 2012, Hollywood Magazine named him Hollywood's newest heartthrob. Can you imagine being the newest heartthrob? That must be so much fun. And then he ranked IMDb, which is, if you know IMDb, that is where most people go to look up movie credits or film credits. And listed there, he was listed as one of the most popular under 25, which is just phenomenal. And now in addition to acting, he's been involved as a producer, and he's producing something called Never and Neverland, which we'll talk about today. And my favorite is that he is proficient in so many things. You know, we're looking at acting, and we're looking at directing, and we're looking at producing, and we're looking at modeling, and we're looking at this incredible vast and variety of people that he's reached from generations, from young generations to older generations, from television, from film, from stage. But the most amazing thing is he's also very proficient in sports. He has a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. He studied Hapkido as well as Kendo, which is swords. He's a marksman with rifles and pistols. And if that's not enough, he plays instruments. He plays a saxophone, my very favorite instrument, guitar and the bass. And in just July of 2012, he represented the USA in the International Association Summer Games. And we'll talk about that during the Olympic torch relay in England, where the team won the USA gold medal. So he is amazing when we talk about leading an unlimited life, when we talk about living the life of your dreams, when we talk about every day being like Christmas and you race downstairs and you unwrap the present of the day and you say, what is the gift that I was given today? And you live with excitement and enthusiasm and bliss, and not only do you do that, but you live your gifts and talents so fully and so completely that you share them with the world. And so how we all can do that, we're going to learn today by talking with Matthew Ziff. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that was quite an introduction.
Wow. You're absolutely amazing. And it's funny because one of the questions I always love to ask guests is that when you were a little boy or a little girl, when you were 6 or 7 or something, and most people want to be astronauts or they want to be, you know, president or whatever that is, fireman, did you know? But you actually started even before my question. Even before my... Did you know when you were 6, you were already at 6 a success? And so tell me about your journey, because it's just amazing. And I know that I was recently at a conference just the past Sunday, and your name was at a table, and you had, you know, a table there. And there were people that were just circling, saying, I want to meet this guy, this Matthew Ziffin. And you are so popular, and even more interesting, everybody that I've ever met that knows you says what a tremendous guy you are. They love you. People appreciate you. They think you're an awesome guy. So tell me from the beginning, where did it begin? You know, you were dropped on this planet like, you know, Clark Kent, and went, okay, I have a huge mission.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. By the way, that's pretty incredible. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be here today. I was a little kid. I was a baby. My parents walked me into Wilhelmina and said, you got to sign this kid. And they said, okay, we're going to sign this kid. And I started with that. I know you gave my whole life story there, so that's pretty perfect. I think when I was old enough to remember things, at least, I really loved acting. I was doing some commercials mostly, did a couple little indie films. I really loved it. And then I got to high school years, did theater, and as you said, I directed a show. It was really fun, really, really liked it. And then I went off to college, and my mom said I couldn't major in theater or film. So I had to do something else, and I actually just last week graduated with my master's degree in industrial engineering from the University of Miami.
That's amazing. Oh, congratulations. Wow. But, you know, it's funny that you say it's industrial engineering because, I do want to talk a little bit about your martial arts and the way your mind works. But I want to just quickly go back to, so when you were a kid and you were doing these commercials and you were doing theater, we talk about fearlessness a lot on this show and a lot about risk and adventure and how one leads an unlimited life. And were you ever afraid when you were acting, or did you ever feel like, gosh, there are all these adults, or this isn't something I know how to do, or was it just fun and enjoyable? Right.
I think I always just looked at it as if it was for fun. And that's how I know a lot of people that try to go and do acting because they need to, because if they don't, then they don't eat. I've always been very fortunate that my family has been incredibly supportive of my want to do acting, to act, and I've been very lucky that I haven't had to do that, and I've always wanted to do acting for fun because I really love it and enjoy it. So I think that it was always very fun for me, and it was a risk. It's putting yourself out there. It's trying to have people like what you do, but then also it's just fun, and it's, you do something because you love it. That's how it's always been for me.
Awesome. I mean, it's just amazing. And then when you were in high school, you were just sharing that you spread your wings and decided to direct. And so what sort of prompted that? I mean, because that's a huge shift to be on the other side and say, not only, you know, am I enjoying, you know, playing, because I know that Shakespeare calls them players and we call them screenplays. And, you know, they're... to us, there, if you're not playing and you're not having fun, you know, little kids go home with their ball and their bat, and as actors, we play, and everything's fun, but as a director, it's not really playing. As a director, you are in control. You were the puppeteer of all of the marionettes.
Yeah.
And that's
well, it was really
different
fun.
Mindset.
Yes,
I'm here. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I think I lost you for a second. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I think going into
going into directing was really an interesting change. I directed the show Eugene Ionescu's The Bald Soprano, which is an absurdist humor, absurdist comedy. It's very, very out there. It was a really fun show, and I got to cast a lot of my friends, because my friends group was all theater kids, so I got to cast a lot of my friends and got to work with a lot of my friends, so it was really nice to know that I have people that are reliable and good actors and that I can just point them in the right direction and we can go from there. And so I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun, and I think that I really respect theater actors and directors. I think they're incredible people and very, very talented. I know I prefer film, though. I think I decided after I had to direct that, I was like, yeah, I really prefer film. I think it's more for me.
That's great. It's funny, I was just talking to somebody this morning about theater and film, and there's so much memorization as far as theater. And film, you can really, you know, take that scene, take that moment, be present in that moment, where in theater you actually, it's the entire life.
Yeah.
It's the entire journey.
I've always seen that difference. I know that theater, I always very much respect theater, and they don't get paid nearly enough. But theater, they have to nail it every single time. They have to be perfect every time. And that's film actors. We get a chance to mess up, and we can do one take that we go really big, and then one take we go really small, and we get to do it a whole bunch of different ways and then have somebody else pick what they want and what they like. But theater, they got to nail it every time. And that's tough. It's really tough. They deserve a lot of respect.
I love that. And what a great differential, and just the journey that you've been on. And when you're working on films, I know that you have a huge martial arts background, and I want to also talk about your music. But do you get to be the hero? Do you get to be the bad guy? Have you fallen in love on screen yet?
I've had some fun parts. I've mostly been the good guy, the leading man, the best friend, the son, things like that. In my film Treachery, which I co-starred with Michael Biehn, it really revolved around our relationship and how we interacted with each other. And it was really a cool project, because I got to start out as this really kind of meek, kind of laid back, or not like laid back, but very, very down character, and then down to earth and all that, and then got to transform and arc into this very strong and powerful and just everything character. I really, really thought that was fun. This most recent film that I just started, Martial Arts Kid, we did a little bit just last week, and then we're going to finish filming it all of June. We're going to be filming. And it's going to be a nice change, because I get to play the bully, and I get to, my character's name is Bo, and it's going to be a really fun project, because I haven't gotten to play a bully character much of a real respect. I played a bully in the movie Truck Stop, which I did with Juno Temple and Evan Peters a couple of years back, which I think they're trying to sell it now, or they're trying to market it, something like that. But this character, Bo, is one of the leads, so that'll be a really nice change to do that and to see it and see what happens. So I think it's going to be really fun.
Extraordinary. It does sound fun to be able to do everything. And so the martial arts kid, let's talk about that. I was reading your bio, and you have this second degree black belt in Taekwondo. You've studied Kendo with your swords and Hapkido. And so tell me how you got into martial arts.
I started Taekwondo when I was about 3 years old. And that was fun, and it was very much when I was younger for exercise and for fun and just after-school activity, and then I really kept with it until I got older and just really branched out into other martial arts. I did a lot of Greco-Roman wrestling, grappling, all these different things, and I guess now you could consider like mixing all of it being like a mixed martial arts thing, which works perfectly, because the martial arts kid is a mixed martial arts movie. So it's gonna be a really fun project. There's some cool people. Hayden Panettiere's brother, Jansen Panettiere, was just cast as the lead good guy, and we play opposite each other. And it's Dom the Dragon, Will Smith, Sigur Rós, amazing actors, martial artists, stunt people. And Cheryl Wheeler Duncan is the executive producer, is a legendary stunt woman. James Lewis, fight coordinator, he's been on everything you can think of. TJ Storm is a guy who did a lot of motion capture. He did a book called Black Cobra, and he's done a lot of really cool stuff. And most recently, he is Godzilla in the new movie. He's the man behind the motion capture for Godzilla. So that's pretty cool. And he's my sensei in the film. So we're making a really cool picture. And it's similar to The Karate Kid, but it has a more realistic element, real martial artists, real martial arts, and just an all-around more realistic and more grounded in reality film. It's going to be a cool project, though.
Oh, I'm so excited to see it. And I know we're bringing some of the other members of the cast onto the show as we're getting closer to it, because I'm really excited. It's such an incredible cast and crew. I mean, from your writers to your stunt coordinators, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And it's something I'm really thrilled about, and I'm so pleased and so proud that you're part of that. It's just going to be amazing. And then when I'm looking at this, so you've got a black belt in Taekwondo. And so for those that are listening to the show today, and this is new, I mean, people, you know, see martial arts and they think Bruce Lee, or they watch movies. And so what is the difference that kendo is swords? And so can you explain sort of the different styles, what it means to learn more than one style, and how that actually translates into movie arts as well, as far as combat or as far as historical value?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the different styles, they're all very, very different. Like, I'm not familiar enough with all of them to explain that, but there's some really great styles out there. There's Korean, Chinese, Japanese, European, like, very different martial arts styles, and they all really have different things that have the same core values of self-control and self-defense and all that kind of stuff. Now, putting those together with film, it really falls a lot on the stunt coordinator. It's great to have the different backgrounds, and that's one of the good things about martial arts, that everybody has at least some martial arts background. And putting that together with the stunt coordinator, it allows him to a realistic fight and make it look real or more real than others if somebody didn't have a martial arts background. Because it's hard to, I mean, I studied from the age of 3. I've been in martial arts for 20 years. So it's a lot of people as well have been there for 30, 40 years. And it takes a lot of determination and to really do it and be with it.
So when you talk about studying since you're 3 years old, and we have people listening from all over the world in different ages, different genres. We have parents, we have, you know, siblings, we have people striving to be actors and people that are, you know, business entrepreneurs and looking to lead an unlimited life. And so do you recommend putting children into martial arts classes? And as an adult, do you think as a man it's important to study martial arts?
I do. I definitely think putting kids into martial arts at an early age, no matter what style, is a very good idea and a very good thing to do. It really helps keep self-control and staying and keeping your emotions in check, and stops a lot of fighting, a lot of bullying. Bullying is a big thing in our middle schools and high schools now, and it's something we really need to stop from happening. And Martial Arts Kid is working with a company called We're Kicking It to really promote the film and an anti-bullying campaign. That martial arts really is there to teach you to control your emotions and control your feelings, and really show you that bullying is not okay, and it's not good to talk or to bully somebody. If you are being bullied, it shows you a way to not only defend yourself,
but be able to control your emotions and just walk away, which is a really big deal and a really big thing. And we really need to stop bullying from happening, and we need to stop it at the source. I think martial arts is a very good way for young kids to keep up to do it, to stop that. And as an adult, I think it really just comes down to your commitment and really, again, keeping yourself in shape and self-control and all that. But I think it's very good for someone to do martial arts for their whole life if they have the opportunity.
That's great advice. That really is. And then it says that you're a second-degree black belt. And so
yes.
How does somebody become a second degree? What's different for those that are listening that are new from first degree to second degree? It sounds very official.
Well, second degree is the second level of black belt. I study, I think it was 2 years in between first and second degree, and then you take tests and you do your forums and spar and various other things. Every dojo and every style has really different requirements and different things that you need to do to become a black belt and to advance further. And a lot of it is really committing to studying and living that way of life for a very long time to really keep going. I personally did not advance past second degree because when I went to a boarding school for high school, that's where I would go on the theater, so I was unable to attend my dojo for a decent chunk of time. So now I keep up my martial arts for fun and for exercise and really just stay with it, but I'm not committed to training at a specific school, unfortunately, anymore.
No, I mean, you've got so much going on. I mean, you're making movies, you're producing. So let's talk about producing. You're producing What Is Never in Neverland. It's a great title. It sounds like something you just want to say over again, Never, Never in Neverland. You know, it sounds like a mantra chant that just makes your day better.
So Never Neverland is a documentary about Swaziland, about how, I don't remember the exact statistic off the top of my head, and I don't want to quote it wrong, but within a very short period of time, there will not be any adults left in the country. Because of just disease and AIDS and famine and all this. So what Never Neverland is really to show what's going on in Swaziland, how people can help, and it shows the journey of the filmmakers and of this relief organization who walked across the country of Swaziland, brought camera equipment and clothing and things with them, and they went to these villages and brought fresh clothing with them and said, I will give you, if you give me your cloth, anything you are willing, it's not required, but I'm going to give you this piece of clothing, this shirt, this sweatshirt, this pants, these shoes, this new thing. And you don't have to, but if you're willing to give me a piece of your old unwearable clothing, they bring that back to the United States. They sew it on patches, on clothing, on shirts, various other items of clothing, sell it, and then give a very high amount of the profit back to the country of Swaziland and back to the village where that clothing came from. And most recently, they were able to build a well in one of the, I don't remember the name of the village, but they were able to build a brand new well from the money that they got from selling these shirts. So it's a really powerful documentary there. I think there's a screening of it either this weekend or it was last week. I don't remember the exact date, but it's a really powerful film. They're trying to sell it, going around to film festivals, and you can definitely check out more information online. There's a lot of information on there you can see.
That's so beautiful that's what this is about. I know that there are entire villages where people are wiped out or people are dying, you know, from just because they don't have clean drinking water. And that one well that you're talking about can actually provide clean water for 1,000 people for 10 to 20 years, which is just amazing. This one little well in a village. So the work that you're doing and the fact that you're getting this information out there and that this is what this organization is, you know, taking these clothes and it's going toward providing life. true sustainable life.
Exactly.
In such a beautiful way. And I love that it's water, and it's a well because it's flow, very much like your martial arts kids. It's all about flow and energy, and it seems that everything you do is right, you know, involved in that same vein, which I think is wonderful. It's like the strong tree and then all the beautiful branches. But the base of who you are is just extraordinary.
Thank you.
It really is. And then you play music. You play my favorite instrument. You play the saxophone. I'm going to come sit in your living room.
I like to dabble. I started playing saxophone in middle school, played it for many, many years, took a little break from it to learn guitar and bass, and I've more recently picked it up again. I always played a lot of jazz. I listened to a lot of jazz growing up, played in multiple jazz bands. It's really a fun instrument. I play alto and baritone saxophone, and it's so fun, and it's such a sexy sound. It's really nice. It's really fun.
Wow. Do you have any, you know, as I'm looking at the music and I'm looking at the martial arts, and I'm looking at the sports and the acting and the directing and the producing and the modeling. And do you have any idols, people that have inspired you through the years to become who you are?
My parents have always been I've always very much looked up to them. They both started from nothing and very, very little, and worked really, really hard to support themselves and become successful, and then raise my brother and I, and really, really just live and be there. And they've always been very supportive. They've been to every one of my sports games. They've been to every one of my theater productions. I've been so truly blessed and so lucky to have such a supportive family. And if there are any parents listening out there, if your kids want to do a lot of stuff, let them, just support them. If they want to try acting, give it a shot. Don't discourage them. Yes, help them to see that it may necessarily not be the best idea. If there are other things that they can do also, you always have to have a backup plan because the industry is so fickle. But definitely to support them. Let them really live out their dreams and let them see what they want to do. And you have to let them succeed on their own, but you also have to let them fail on their own. And when they do, and it's inevitable, it happens to everybody, you have to be there to help them and help them pick back up and point them right back in the right direction. And I've been so lucky to have that in my family that I think that every parent needs to do that.
That's stupendous advice. Truly, and how lucky and blessed you are to have such incredible parents and such supportive parents. And I shared with you at the top of the show when we were talking how much I enjoyed talking to your father. And I so enjoy talking to your father, one, because he's just so bright, so exciting to talk to. I mean, he's amazing. But his passion for you and his joy for you and his support of you and all you're doing and who you are, and you can tell he respects you, which from a father to a son, and you can, as you're speaking, I can tell how much you respect him as well. And that's just amazing to hear and to feel. And what a great example for those that are listening to have that kind of relationship with their own sons or with their own fathers and parents.
For sure, yeah.
Just fantastic. And so you were saying that when you were going to college that they didn't want you to study acting or to study film. And even though they were supportive, they wanted you to be able to unfold into something else or to open to something else should you ever decide to walk through another door?
Yeah, pretty much. It was always, my family's always been incredibly supportive of everything I wanted to do. But my parents said to me, if you want to do film or theater or acting or whatever it is, you have to have a backup plan just in case something goes wrong. And I've always, since I was a little kid, I've always loved building and creating and designing and inventing. And so when I got to college, it was a no-brainer that, all right, well, if I can't do film in college, then I'm going to
going to do this engineering. And I went through it, and I spent 5 years there. I got my master's degree. I'm out. I'm done. Well, nobody can ever take that away from me. I will always have my education, and now I'm going to pursue what I want to do. I'm going to pursue acting, and then if down the road, if something goes wrong, I'll always have my education to fall back on. I always have something else. And that's a big deal, because a lot of people, I mean, how many million actors in LA, and I think it's like the top 0.01%, it's like 1,000 people, like, or less in the whole city of Los Angeles that are really, like, continually working actors out of the millions of people that are there. And so many people go out to Los Angeles without a plan, which just say, I'm going to go be an actor now, and don't understand that it's a business, it's show business, and you need to understand not only the craft, and you really need to be very good to get anywhere, but you need to understand the business aspect of it also. So to anybody who wants to be an actor, not only do you need to study as an actor and understand what you're doing and really understand the differences between film and theater acting and really go out there and know what you're doing, but you need to look at it and you need to realize, okay, this is the business. There are millions of people trying to be actors. There are only a few working. Why are they working, and how can I do that? And you need to take any advice you can get. I mean, obviously, you take advice with a grain of salt. Don't listen to everything everybody says. I had lunch with Gene Simmons a couple days ago. He's an incredible guy to talk about some producing stuff.
Yes.
And he told us a funny little anecdote. He's saying that nobody in Hollywood knows everything, and if they say they do, they're lying. So it wasn't the exact words, but I'll keep it politically correct for the radio. but that is more or less that was more or less his intention behind his words, and that's very, very true. So you have to find a good acting. If you do come to LA, you have to find a good acting class. Get in with the right agents and casting directors, and it takes a long time, and it's a long process. And you really have to make sure you're committed to it. And really, really, all right, this is what I want to do. And you really have to commit and be ready. But also, know that you can fail, and if you do, you have something else that you can rely on.
So I think that was some of the
fantastic.
Best.
Fantastic. I love that you had lunch with Gene Simmons.
He's a tricky guy. He's very, very cool.
I've had the opportunity to work with him several times, and so much energy and so much fun. And when we talk about unlimited life, crossing those lines and living the freedom and living the joy and living the bliss and not really caring how everybody else is living your life, but making your own pathway to success. And you're doing that, and he's done that, and that's an incredible journey just to follow your heart. And that drumming of your heart, and to take the next step and follow the drumming of your heart and to take the next step. And so I think that it's so appropriate that you would connect with him, because your talent just reaches so many different levels. I mean, when I was looking at this, and even in your commercials, when it says that you work for, you know, clothes and toy boxes and all sorts of things, and when you think about the people that know you, Matthew, kids know you, and teenagers know you, and adults know you, and elderly people around the world know you. And so you touch so many lives in so many deep, profound ways, and you're so inspirational to so many people of what's possible. And so I think it's just amazing. And I love, even that it talks about that you were did comedy skits with David Letterman and Conan O'Brien. And what was that like as a kid to work with David Letterman and Conan O'Brien?
It was pretty cool. I was very young when I was on Letterman, but Conan I remember very well. And that was cool. He is ridiculously tall. That's something I'll never forget. He is an incredibly tall man. And it was a Christmas skit, and we all went up. There were a couple of kids, including myself, and then Conan was dressed as Santa, and he said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And
What do you want? Sorry about that. The skit was, what do you want for from Santa for Christmas? And my line was, I want to know what I'm going to be when I grow up. And it was very funny that the skit that was planned was they had a guy who probably mid-20s at the time, and he was dressed. He had the same glasses. They put fake glasses on me, and they had him dressed similar. They did his hair the same, and he looked like me 20 years in the future. And they said, and they did the whole, this is back when Conan was doing his whole dance intro pre-2001, and this guy went out there, did the whole dance intro, did the whole thing. They had the same band, and they said, Late Night with Matthew Ziff. Here's your host, Matthew Ziff. And they did the whole skit, and the joke of it was that when they come back to us, I'm sitting there crying, and Conan's like, well, what do you think? And I say to Conan, what a loser I'm going to be, and run off stage. And it was very funny, because when we were doing the rehearsals, Conan was there, but nobody else was. The band wasn't there. It was the Christmas Elf episode, and he wasn't there, and none of the band was there. And after that, they just started cracking up, and it was totally unplanned, and it was an extra, like, minute of just these guys laughing at Conan and laughing at the joke because nobody had heard it yet. So I always thought that was really memorable and really, really funny. So it's been a number of years, but every year around the time of that episode airs, I tweet to Conan, hey, Conan, where's my show? So maybe one of these days he'll respond. Conan, if you're listening, I'm coming for you, buddy.
That's great. That's so funny. And it's so amazing because I did not know he was tall.
Maybe it was just because I was a little kid, but he was really, really tall.
That's great. That's a great story. How funny.
Yeah, I like it.
That's perfect. And then I'm looking here, and we've got people typing in, so I'm, you know, asking you the questions that are coming in from around the world. But one of the questions is hysterical. It's saying, I had said that you were a marksman with rifles and pistols, and that you were from Florida. And I guess those things don't normally go together.
Florida and weapons? Those things go together all the time. Florida and guns go together constantly.
I guess the person doesn't know. But anyway, so tell me how you got into that. Was that for the film, or was that a hobby of yours, or something that, you know, I know that many years ago, my dad was a vice president of an organization, and they had a president's club, and they had, guns, and you would shoot cans, whatever that was, and the person that shot the most cans won a prize. And I actually shot the most cans, and I won a cookbook. And I was so excited, and I called my boyfriend at the time, and I said, oh, my gosh, they had these guns, and you shot these cans, and, I hit the most, and I won a cookbook. And he said, what did you shoot? And I said, Cook and 7-Up. And he said, no, what kind of gun was it? So I don't know, I shot Cook and 7-Up.
That's funny. I actually got into it as a hobby. It really, more than anything. That's a really funny story, though. I got into it as a hobby. I was never really into that. But I always thought it was pretty fun growing up watching action movies and anime shows and all that kind of stuff. They always had big guns and they were shooting at stuff, and I always thought that was pretty cool. So I started when I was younger just with little 22 rifles, just shooting cans, but targets, and it's really fun. It's definitely a hobby. My brother and my dad are very into shooting, and they really love it. For me, it's a hobby. I like it. I like going sometimes. But I used to be very good. I am probably still very good. I haven't gone in a couple months, but I'm sure if I went a little bit, I'd kick it back up again. But it's a hobby. It's always been fun.
That's great. Have you ever done archery?
I have. I did a little bit of archery. Archery is very difficult. It was also very fun, and I did a little bit of it. My uncle is definitely, he goes, he
hunts with bows and all that kind of stuff. But I always just did it for fun, so I had that, like, $30, $20 plastic, probably going to snap in half bow and arrow set with the little big foam target you put 20 feet away, and I would just go in the backyard. But we never really got – so I can do it, and I know how, but I never really had the real training or extensive amount of training in it.
Because I would think your skill set would just lend itself to archery or to darts. Like, I probably wouldn't want to play darts with you.
I've been very lucky to be exposed to a lot of different activities and sports and skills. Try to be as well-rounded Renaissance man as I can.
That's just fantastic. It really is. And then it says in your bio that July 2012, he represented the United States in the international, and I don't even know how to say that word,
Quidditch.
Oh, Quidditch. Oh, wow. Summer games during the Olympic torch relay in England, and the Team USA won the gold medal. So tell me about that experience, because that just jumped out when I was reading your bio.
Well, it's very fun. For people listening that don't really know what Quidditch is, it is the sport from Harry Potter originally. In the past, I don't even know, 7-8 years, it's evolved into its own sport and really surpassed just being Harry Potter. And there's about 1,000 teams worldwide. And I've played for about 5-6 years, and I think this will be my 6th year playing. I've taken a little break from it since I've graduated. And it's a lot of mostly based in colleges, but high schools are starting to pick it up, and there are community teams all over the country for people who have graduated college or are not in college or don't have a local team that they can play. Boston, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Chicago are all really hubs. There are a lot of Quidditch in that area. And there's teams all over the world now. There's teams Australia, China, England, France, Canada is a really big program. Mexico, I think Brazil has Argentina. They're all over the world. There's a team in Africa. There's one team in Africa. They're the only one. I think they've started up more. They're slowly starting up in middle schools even. And it's really just my generation grew up with Harry Potter. That was our whole lives. That was our childhood for a lot of us. And when we all got to college and we saw, all right, some people a bunch of years ago had created a real-life version of Quidditch, and people started playing it, and it was really just for fun at first, and then it evolved into this incredibly demanding and athletic sport. And this past year, there was the World Cup, or they've had the 7th World Cup, and they've had either 6th or 7th, I don't remember. The University of Texas at Austin has won the last 2 years straight. And they're ridiculous. They train as a varsity sport, and they have morning, night, right? They are crazy. I played on the Miami team for 5 years, and I had a really great time with that. I was one of the original founders of the team. And then 2012 comes around, and they had an application process and a tryout for the Team USA. And what it was is this event called the Global Game. And it was teams from the U.S., U.K., Canada, France, and Australia met up in Oxford, England, and played our version of an Olympic. It was all national teams, and it was the first year of it, and it was really pretty crazy and really, really fun. And we ended up winning, and we played an exhibition match, and the final match, I think, at the torch relay, because you know how they go through all the different cities, and it went through Oxford. So as an official event of the party and of the torch relay celebration, we played a Quidditch match between the U.S. and the U.K. And our team, U.S., won the gold medal overall for the tournament. And it was a pretty incredible team, the top 21 people from each country at the time. And they just now, in the last couple weeks, selected the team for the 2014 in Canada. I don't remember what city, but you can find that online by looking up International Quidditch Association. And they're going to be playing in Canada, and a bunch of my very good friends and a couple of my teammates were actually selected for the team this year. So it's really cool, and you
people think, wow, Harry Potter is ridiculous. It must be just a bunch of nerds running around. But there's some very serious athletes at Miami. Our team was 100% real athletes. We all came from various different sports backgrounds. Our coach and our captain was a basketball player, and he taught and coached basketball to young kids. And we really had a pretty incredible team. And this year, this past year we passed the team down to the next generation. All our four original players all left, and now it's all these really incredible young people that are going to go so far, because it becomes more than a team. It becomes like a family. So having that and having the opportunity to meet people from all over the world, and then going to play in this global games and meet even more people. A Quidditch, if you're part of the Quidditch community, you can go anywhere in the world and have a place to stay, because everybody is like-minded and very, very cool people. It's a really great group, too. So.
That's so exciting. Oh, my gosh, how impressive. And thank you so much for that description, because when I was reading it, I was like, okay, what is that? And you can tell it's the Olympic torch relay in England, where the Team USA won the gold medal. I mean, you could, at the Summer Games, right away, it just sounds like an announcer, how very exciting. And then, but to know that it's associated with Harry Potter, and, that really did define a generation. So I love the fact that you're saying that's what you grew up with, and everybody your age, that really, and I love, because Harry Potter, beyond the magic, and beyond that this boy, has all of this power and can do all the things that he can do and affect the people's lives that he affects and such great change. It's just the fact that what a wonderful thing to be inspired by, and the fact that you're saying that now it's such a strong community that you can go to any city or any state or any country and kind of have a family and home. Because there's a bond there and an understanding there. And wouldn't it be great? We're looking for the thread of humanity. Like, what is the common thread of humanity if this is it? This is the key we've all been waiting for. So I love that. So thank you for that description.
Of course.
Really, really, really wonderful. And I wanted to ask you, as you're talking about, because it's kind of a brotherhood, what you're talking about as well. And I know that several times in this interview you've mentioned your brother and that, he's doing all these things with you. And so is
I have to
he
really quick, I well, have to say, you said Quidditch are a brotherhood, and I say it's a family because it's actually a co-ed sport. It's men and women play. On the same field at the same time.
Caring.
So it really is it is not a brotherhood, it's really a family. So. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I have to clarify that.
Oh, no.
Because Quidditch is always trying to be as advocating and all that as possible. So.
And I'm glad that you clarified it, and thank you so much, because especially as we're talking about it, connecting people and feeling like you can be, that you always have a home, that it's this great tapestry throughout the world that's connecting all the threads of the planet. So I thank you so much for clarifying that and defining that, because I think that it's wonderful to know, and that unfolds and opens the doors to so many more possibilities for everybody that's listening to the show today.
Yeah.
So thank you. And then, so as a family, let's talk about your family.
Okay.
So I said, as a family, let's talk about your family. So I know that you were talking about your brother, and I was curious if he's acting, and so often you've been saying that, all of these things that you've done with him as far as these sports or, games that you've played and training that you've accomplished. And what is it like to have somebody by your side supporting you as you're doing this?
It's really great. My brother is not an actor. He's a businessman. He works in my father's family, in our family business. My dad is one of the top life insurance brokers in the country. And my brother works with him. And he actually, I have to give him a shout-out and say congratulations, because he got engaged last night.
Yesterday he got engaged.
So I have to say congratulations to him and his fiancée, Nina, and Adam and Nina. Congratulations, guys. So, But it's really pretty nice. It's really nice to have a brother and to have someone to grow up with and get to do all these fun things and someone to look up to. And he was like for example with shooting, he was always an incredible shot. He was always better than I was, but it was always giving me something to strive to get to with a lot of things. So it's really nice to grow up with a sibling. I really love it.
It's so nice to hear. It truly is, and I love the fact that you've mentioned him so often, you know, on this show. And congratulations. I will extend my congratulations. That's so thrilling and so exciting. We'll have to have them back on our other show, on the Hourglass Bride show, on relationships, talking about the wedding. So, so that would be lovely. And then I wanted to ask you, because we've got people typing feverishly with all these questions, so I have to, you know, do duck, 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 goose and pick the one that pops up the most here. But Hollywood's newest heartthrob. It's funny, I have one of my clients is a college student, and I've done Skype sessions with her, and I was working on her body and getting her body unlimited, and she's a triathlete and all of this, and when she would Skype me from her college dorm, she had, like, her laundry was all over the floor, like, all these three tests, but she had, like, boy bands posters on her walls, and it was so great to be working with her. You know, this great triathlete, and every time she would Skype me, I would just smile and laugh. And so I know for girls, you know, to have a man like you. And so, what is it like to be Hollywood's newest heartthrob?
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I don't really know what else to say about it.
Well, did you know when that they were going to name you that in the magazine, or did it come as a surprise, or how did you feel?
I do not know. I saw that in newspaper, in an article, when my dad actually handed it to me. He's like, here, look at this. That's pretty cool. So it was fun. It was an interesting experience. So it was pretty cool.
I think that's so exciting. And so are there posters of you, and are you signing things now? And
A little bit. Not too many, but I've signed a couple of things for people.
I'm waiting to go to the college dorms to see posters of you everywhere. So.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's so fantastic. And then it also says that you ranked on IMDb as one of the most popular under 25. What an honor.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was working on a film called Treachery with Michael Dino starring in that. And it's actually premiering next week at the Hoboken Film Festival. That'll be pretty cool if anybody's the Hoboken Film Festival is actually moved to Middletown, New York, because the venue was too small, so they moved it to make it even larger. That'll be pretty cool, and that's premiering there, and I'll be there, but that'll be a really cool project. It's a really cool project, and there was a lot of press and publicity for it. As in a Hollywood Reporter a couple of times. It's a very cool project, and it was one of my first starring roles where I really got to carry a film, and I have been told many times I do a good job. I think I did a pretty good job, if I say so myself, so I guess we'll wait for people to see it to judge that, but there's a lot of press and publicity surrounding the movie, and a lot of people looking for me, a lot of people looking me up, so it was pretty cool.
That's great. Now, what made this role different than other roles you've done?
It was a very interesting project, because it's entirely character-driven. The special effects, I mean, there are none. It's entirely character-driven. It's all takes place in one house, like three or four rooms. It's 100% character-driven. So to be able to, it really means you have to know what you're doing, obviously, and put that much preparation in and be able to really live in it. And working with Michael Dean and
Sarah Butler, who was on in I Spit on Your Grave a couple of years ago, great actress. She played my girlfriend in the film. And the movie revolved around the three of us and our relationship. So my relationship with Michael Biehn, who played my father, and our relationship with my girlfriend. And I'm not going to give anything away. You can come see the film at the Hoboken Film Festival in Middletown, New York, I think next week. I think it's on Monday, I want to say. I don't know, you can look it up online. And it's a very interesting and really cool project, nice twists and turns. And I really liked it because I got to arc from this sort of meek, kind of quiet character into this very strong and forward and clean personality. So I really enjoyed the character and the arc and living in that. It was really fun.
I wish you all the best with it, and I so look forward to seeing it. And so, absolutely, that just sounds like such a thrilling movie and so exciting, and just how wonderful to watch you just sort of peacock and blossom and through, you know, like you're saying, through the story arc and being able to go through these different arenas of characterization and now really be recognized as an actor that can do that. And has that capacity and has that clarity and has that power. So I'm very thrilled for you and really privileged to be talking to you, and I can't wait to see what happens with this. It's so exciting.
Thank you.
And then I look at some of the other titles. I love the titles of your movies. If I was just, you know, like Ernest Hemingway, Six Gun Savior, what, Mansion of Blood.
Six Gun Savior is a cool project. I'm actually executive producing that with my mom, Lorraine Ziff, and the two of us are doing it. We have been producing that one, and we both star in it, along with Eric Roberts and Marty Cove. And it's a supernatural Western. So it's just way out there and different from anything else that I've ever done. It's really an incredible project. It is just about done with editing. They're in final edits. They spent like 5-6 hours in the editing booth last week, and then, on Friday. And I was there for a couple hours, and we were just reviewing things, and they're just about picture wrapped or picture locked. And then it'll go to special effects and sound and color and all that. And the special effects that we got is just incredible. So this project is going to be very cool when it's done. I think we're hoping it'll be fully done sometime this fall. And then we'll market it and try and sell it and go from there. So it'll be really – I'm excited. That's a really good project. And I think a lot of people are really going to like it.
And there you go, opening another door. You're executive producing? It's amazing. And you're working with your mom, which must be just incredible, too.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. And what was Mansion of Blood?
Mansion of Blood, it's a horror film, like a campy, funny horror film. I'm not actually too sure what happened. It was done, and then something was going on, and then somebody ran away with money, and then that one had some issues. I don't really know what the status of it is right now, unfortunately.
But actually, you know, Matthew, that's so perfect, because if anybody is going to run away, and you don't know what it is, and it's like this great mystery of what happened to the movie, would be Mansion of Blood. It just sounds like, I mean, someday when you're writing your autobiography, it's perfect. And then the film was lost.
It was an interesting movie. It's very funny. Gary Busey's in that as well. It's just a really odd and funny and strange movie to one day actually see it when they figure out whatever they're doing.
I'm sure. We've got a lot of people listening to this show right now, so I'm sure people right now are already on it. We've got some very powerful people listening and very connected people. For all of you who have connections, it's the Rubik's Cube, you know. This is like the golden chalice. Go find Mansion of Blood. Bring it back. We all want to see it because we want to see everything that you do. And so now, you know, you're producing, now you're acting, now you've got, you know, the the martial arts kid. And what does the future hold? I mean, if you had a crystal ball or three wishes come true, what would you like to see happen?
I don't know. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't think anybody has a crystal ball. If you do, let me know so I can buy it from you. I really am excited to see what happens. I'd really love to do some really cool projects, just some big stuff. Just a couple of days ago, I auditioned for the new Power Rangers TV show. I don't know what will happen with it. I have no expectations. I have no expectations of anything. I don't know what's going to happen, but that'd be pretty cool. I'd love to work with some pretty incredible people. I'd love to work with Johnny Depp someday. I'd love to work with George Clooney someday. There's some incredible actors out there that I'd, Robert Downey Jr., I'd love to work with him. He just seems like such a cool person. I think I'd love to do some big projects with them. And you know, we'll see what happens. Everybody's doing their thing. I'm doing the best I can. I'm getting out there, auditioning, doing everything I can. And one day, maybe I'll get to work with those people, and that'll be pretty cool.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that they're thinking one day they hope to work with you, Matthew, because you are so talented. And there are people that are born into their gifts. You know, there are people that are born into their talents. There are people that are born into making a difference in this planet, in this world, in this life. And, you know, truly, you have been living your magic since you were very small, and you are unstoppable. And every gift that you have ever been given, you share with the world in such a big way. So I am positive that Johnny Depp and George Clooney and all these people are biting at the bit to work with you. Because what a gift and what an honor it would be for them to be by your side and to be able to share a screen with you. So I think it's just amazing. And for all of us that are listening today and that are listening in the future and downloading and all of that, how do people find you? Do you have a Facebook page? Do you have a website? Can people contact you? How do people reach out and be in your world?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I don't even know, Tumblr, all the social media, everything is Matthew's Gift. You can find me on all that stuff. And it's just, everything's just Matthew's Gift. It keeps it simple. feel free. And it's MatthewsGift.com is my website. It's in the process of being updated a little bit more. But it's got some cool stuff on there you can check out. IMDb, Matthew's Gift. Everything's under there. So, yeah. Feel free to reach out via Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. I love getting a chance to communicate with fans and talk to people.
It's so extraordinary, and I love that you're so accessible to people. And I love, even at the Dragon Fest, you know, that you were there and made yourself available to talk to people and to talk to fans and to share with those
really
that are looking. Yes. And so for those that are looking to get into the kaleidoscope of film. I mean, would you say pick one thing, be an actor, be a writer, be a producer, be a director, be a martial artist, or would you say live your dreams and whatever door opens, step through?
I would say, you know what, have an idea of what you want to do and be open for new adventures. Don't commit yourself 100, like fully to one thing and block everything else out. Be open to trying new things and trying new activities and learning new skills. And you know what? Take care of yourself. Really, that's a big thing. Take care of yourself. Don't be dumb. Don't do drugs. Don't drink excessively. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink. I don't have time, even if I wanted to, which I don't. And you really just be kind to people. Be grateful for everything you have. And if you want to try something, try it, but make sure you know everything that it entails. So if you want to try acting, don't run out to L.A. right away. Find wherever you live. In New York, there's some pretty amazing acting classes. Every major city has some pretty crazy and pretty amazing places that you can go to and learn. And really take the time to learn and make sure it's what you want to do before you
commit to it and then go and try and do some work and audition and audition and audition and get an agent. And it takes time. It takes a lot of time, and it's difficult. But when you do, it's worth it. So be open to new things. Be willing to try different things and learn different skills and take care of yourself. That's the biggest pieces of advice I can give.
Well, that's amazing advice. And as you say, take care of yourself and that you don't drink, you don't do drugs, you know, and all these things that you share. I love that you said, because I don't have time. But in today's world, especially when we look at children, there is a huge ratio of childhood obesity today from our fast food and restaurants and the fact that kids are on their iPads or their computers and they're not playing in playgrounds or riding their bike to their neighbor's houses or, you know, they visit their friends by going in the room and shutting the door and going on FaceTime. And so you grew up in a very physical childhood. And so
I grew up just on the verge of all of that stuff. Just on the beginning of the digital world, I guess. Just when like video games for my like computers and Xbox and Nintendo and N64 was the big hit when I was growing up, and original Xbox and all that stuff that a lot of kids now don't even know existed. But kids need to. I mean, it's not only the kids' fault. It's definitely on the parents a little bit too. You got to get your kid out there and get them interested and give them things to do, like martial arts, after school sports, stuff like that. But then the kids, I mean, kids, come on, guys. Communication is not sitting in a room on a computer. Communication is going and meeting somebody and go outside and play in the yard or play in a park or do anything. They're play tag for crying out loud. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason for childhood obesity at all. There isn't. It's parents being lazy and not getting their kids. I know even in my generation, I guess this is still technically my generation, but the younger kids and people my age now and a little bit older than me, we all went home from, we went to school and then we got home and then we played sports all night. We had after school activities or something. Even the theater kids had things that they did. You can't just not do anything. You can't disconnect from the world.
That's fantastic. I mean, and it's so true. And you were on the brink. I love the generation that you grew up in. When you're talking about Harry Potter, you're talking about as the world was stepping into the world of computers or the world of the tech world, because you really had the best of both. So I love even the industrial engineering, because you had the opportunity to see the future and a world of technology and all the infinite possibilities, but you still were so grounded to the earth and to space and to people in your community when we were outside and playing and meeting friends and meeting neighbors and meeting people and, you know, working with your family and having this incredible opportunity to try all these new things and do all these new things. And, you know, even going to the school that you went to, this incredible opportunity for education. And so your journey was just perfectly timed to be a launching pad to really be able to share so much with the world today, and especially with the young people today. I mean, you are such an example and truly just somebody to look up to. And as kids would look to you as an authority of, you know, the action-packed world or an authority of humanity, but what a great example you set. And I'm really looking forward to the martial arts kid coming out and your future films coming out and all of your opportunities and the things that you have being brought to the foreground, because I think that you're really somebody to follow and you're really somebody to be excited by and moved by. And I think that an entire generation can really step into your footsteps and really become more powerful because of you and all that you're doing. So it's such an honor, and it's so much fun to be able to talk to you, because you can tell that you have such a good heart as well.
Thank you.
And you're so unaffected by your success, which is just amazing to me, because you've had such an incredible amount of success, and in so many arenas and so many areas of your life. It's like Midas, everything you touch turns to gold. But in talking to you, I could tell it's really earnest hard work and diligence and determination and unwavering will that has really led to that success.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate you having me on the show here to be able to talk about everything.
It's my absolute pleasure, and it's my absolute joy. And as we just have, a couple minutes left on the top of the show, this show is Unlimited Life. And so what does it mean to you to lead an unlimited life?
I think I'm trying my best to live an unlimited life, to try to be spin and learn new skills and do activities and pursue what I really want to do and be unlimited in everything you do and try and live and be cultured and experience everything and know that not you or your city or your country, you're not the center of the world. There's a really big world out there, and you have to be exposed to as much of the cultures of other countries and other people and places as you can. And really that, on top of living and being confident in yourself and taking care of yourself, like, and learning every chance you get, I think that's what it means to me to live an unlimited world.
That's just perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I couldn't think of a better answer. And I think for all of us, what a wonderful way to live. It's sort of the Harry Potter way of life. It really is. I love it. You followed Harry Potter, and I know that even the way that the books came out, it was just, from nothing came this idea.
Yeah.
And from this idea came this boy, and from this boy came this success, and from this success it rippled.
Came a generation, really.
Yes, absolutely. And so, when I'm looking at movies like The Martial Arts Kid, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at, really, truly, Matthew, that's what it is.
So.
And people, they don't just lightly say, the most popular under 25 or Hollywood's newest heartthrob. They're not just things that people throw out because they make great headlines. They make great headlines. But it's not teen idol. Heartthrob means somebody that actually makes you feel something. That somebody loves you and they admire you and they adore you and they idolize you and they're moved to a point of wanting to follow you and your work and your future. And it's exhilarating, it's exciting, it's this great magical adventure. And that's what, the ride we're all on with you. So we have all gone to the amusement park of Matthew Ziff. We're all standing in line for the next ride, whether that be the Martial Arts Kid or even the Mansion of Blood someday. And these incredible things that you're producing, like Never Never Land and, Six Gun Savior, which you're doing with your mom, and just amazing, amazing rides and adventures of life. And congratulations on your degree. Congratulations to your brother on his engagement. And congratulations to your parents for doing such an incredible job.
Thank you.
And having a child and supporting all of his visions and dreams, because certainly you are an example of what that looks like when someone is supported to live life to the fullest. And we wish you all the success in the future. So,
thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And we look forward to having you back on the show once The Martial Arts Kid is out. And we would love to be able to talk about the premiere and how people can get there. And for this week, everybody should go tell us once more about the film that's coming out this week.
I'm sorry, say one more time.
The film that's coming out this week, Treachery?
Treachery, yeah. So it's premiering at the Hoboken Film Festival in Middletown, New York. Come out and watch it. It's look up online to see exactly time and place and all that stuff. And hopefully it'll be theaters, Netflix, Redbox, Hulu, Amazon, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, whatever, all those, June, July, August, so pretty soon.
I can't wait to see it. So Matthew Ziff, ZIFF.com. Find him on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, in your local theaters, and on your posters, on your walls, and in your hearts. So thank you for being with us today. An extraordinary show. Wishing you all the best, Matthew.
Thank you, too, as well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Wow. What an incredible guest. What an incredible artist. So Matthew Ziff, ZIFF.com. Find him, Twitter him, Facebook him, Instagram him. This week, Treachery is being released. If you're in the area, go see it. If you're not in the area, make sure you reach to Netflix, to Redbox. What an incredible role that he gets to unfold as a man and have this kind of character that's the kind of character you dream of. The martial arts kid we are going to be bringing the cast on as this movie is premiering. It is an unbelievable team of some of the best actors, writers, stunt people, choreographers. It's a movie to mark a generation, and we're so looking forward to being part of that and helping you follow the premiere and how to be part of this entire movement. And as Matthew was talking about, this is a movement of a generation. And it doesn't matter if you are young and you are just stepping into that world right now and you are looking at this as an example of unlimited physical potential or unlimited life potential to be able to act, to produce, to write, to direct, to be the very pinnacle at the top of the sport of your field, to travel the world, the gold medal circuit, to live your life. That kind of passion and exuberance, and open every doorway and follow every dream to its richest fulfillment. If we all can learn that from Matthew, how wonderful that could be. And for those that are living our dreams, a way that Matthew was so humble in the way that he shared, and the way that he acknowledged his parents and the people around him and the people that have helped him. And if we could all be that gracious in acknowledging those who stand beside us, who support us, who are behind us, and those who are leading the way. And I think he's such a marvelous example, not just of a young man, but as a man, and as he said, not just as a man, as a human being of all people. The same way that he was saying the sport is not just a brotherhood, it's a humanhood, it's a peoplehood. And he represents peoplehood. He represents what it means to live an unlimited life, his example of how to lead an unlimited life, his example of fitness, of health, of self-care, of self-realization and self-recognition, and how to take care of oneself so you can provide this incredible dream. So he's amazing. We are so blessed. We are so honored he is with us today, and we look forward to following his career and look forward to bringing him back as this movie launches. And certainly we want to follow him and support him, because he really is the young man today that is not only, you know, the most popular under 25, but he is the most popular in all ages and in all realms of someone to really shine and be an example of what it means to lead the kind of life we know we were all meant to live. So we are thrilled. We want to give a shout out here in the United States. We are celebrating Memorial Day. And so this weekend we are taking time to honor all of those who have honored this country. And I know whatever country you are in right now, that you can take time to realize what it means, as Matthew was saying, to be part of a humanhood. And that what we really want is peace for all mankind. And so, and I love that even when he was talking about that nobody should be bullied. I mean, even just at the top of the show, nobody should be picked on. Everybody should be able to either be gracious enough to hold their crown, walk away, or be able to take care of themselves, as he's saying, in self-care. And so there's so many examples in such a perfect weekend, you know, for Matthew to be on. And we have so many exciting shows coming up for you in the next few weeks. So stay tuned, stay with us. It's Unlimited Life with the keys, the tools, the techniques, and how to really live that life that you've always dreamt of, that you know you are meant to live, how to take every barrier, every wall, every hurdle, make it a gate, and get to the other side. So wishing you a wonderful week. Looking forward to talking to you soon. And once again, great thanks to Matthew Ziff, MatthewZiff.com. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Find his movies, but mostly find him in your heart, because he really is the beat of the future.